This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. 8:35 a.m. on Friday, the 8th of April. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng. Now, as you may have heard yesterday, the Public Accounts Committee released its report on 1MDB after an investigation that spanned 9 months. Lots of revelations from the findings. So we have on the line with us Tony Pua, MP for Petaling Jaya Utara, and also a member of the Public Accounts Committee, as well as Wan Saiful Wan Jan, the CEO of the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or better known as IDEAS. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
All right. I'm going to start with you, Wan Saiful. Can I just get your first response? When the PAC report came out, what was your initial reaction to it?
Well, firstly, I would say I want to congratulate the Parliament for putting it out on their website so quickly. I think that's very good for transparency. I also think that the PAC has done a relatively good job in uncovering some of the issues that people are talking about. The immediate thing that stood out for me is how the body of the report hardly discusses anything about the role of the advisory board, but on the recommendation, one of the 5 recommendations that they make is for that body to be abolished. So for something that was hardly discussed in the body of the report, but suddenly being recommended for abolishment, I think that's a very big jump in the report.
Okay, just to follow up on that, there was a lot of mention about the board of directors, but you said the advisory board was the biggest gap. Why is the advisory board important in your eyes?
Well, because the report repeatedly said that the CEO was ignoring the instruction of the board of directors. So immediately the question that comes to my head is, whose instruction were they following? And or is it just a bad CEO and not knowing how to follow any instruction or governance structure? And it cannot be that. You cannot possibly become a CEO at that level if you don't know who to follow within a particular structure. So the question in my head is, whose orders was he following? And was there anyone acting as a shadow director within the organization?
YB Tony, I also want to ask you about the termination of the auditors, because apparently from what I read, those terminations were made directly from the MOF and not necessarily the 1MDB board. What do you think of this?
Well, the auditors are typically appointed by the shareholders in any companies. So termination of auditors must have the explicit endorsement and approval of the shareholders. And in this case, the terminations were all done by Dato' Sri Najib Razak, who signed as the Minister of Finance, who owns 1MDB. So in this particular case, it's the discrepancy or the questions aren't so much over the termination. I mean, companies do change auditors, but the circumstances surrounding the change of auditors, it is always a case of dispute between the auditors and the company, where the auditors raised many questions that 1MDB was unable to answer. 1MDB was just giving verbal assertions without providing documentary evidence. And as a result, there was a massive delay in the completion of the audit. And suddenly the old auditors were terminated and new auditors appointed. And for one reason or another, the new audit is always completed within a very short period of time.
Okay. Well, I just want to follow up very quickly. Just go back to what Wan Saiful said about the advisory board and how he thinks that was a huge gap in the PAC's report. How would you respond to that, Tony? I mean, what was your response? Why was there not enough discussion on the advisory board and yet a recommendation made to dissolve it?
There is certainly a shortfall in terms of the discussion within the PAC on the Board of Advisors for several reasons. First, the reason being that reference to the advisory board was scant in the testimonies given by the management of the company. So the management did not make any claims that they were under any directive or orders from anyone else other than the Board of Directors. That's number one. Number two, the Treasury General Tan Sri Awan Sariga did mention, however, that the MOF had no controls. The MOF officials have no control over the company, despite 1MDB being part of the ministry, Minister of Finance Incorporated, because of the existence of the clause 117 in the Memorandum of Articles of Association of the company, where all final controls goes direct to the Prime Minister himself, who also sits as the Board of Advisors in the chairman of the Board of Advisors of the company. Hence, together with the 117 clause, which we found to be completely against normal governing accountability principles in a government subsidiary, the Board of Advisors and the Article 117 were to be abolished altogether.
Wan Saiful, if I could bring you back in terms of closure, do you think that the PAC report has given you any measure of closure? Do you feel like some of your unanswered questions have been addressed?
Well, I think many questions have been answered by the PAC to a certain extent. I think it does provide the answers that we're looking for. But at the same time, there are still some questions that need to be investigated more. My hope is it's not going to end here. We should continue debating this. I really want to get to the bottom of this, the role of the Board of Advisors. I think that's a very major point. I mean, a person whose advice even the Agong cannot ignore, suddenly chairing the Board of Advisors of a company, are we seriously saying there's no legal and fiduciary responsibilities there? So I think there are issues that need to be explored further. But for the purpose of this report, I think it's done its job relatively well.
Okay. Well, for that's on the part of governance, but what about the part of the impact of 1MDB and the controversy on government coffers? We found that the government would need to fork out 20 billion ringgit, and that's not including interest payments, I might add, should 1MDB fail to pay off its debts. So we're looking at a huge sum of money here, Tony, in terms of contingent liability.
Absolutely. And that has always been a theme that we have asserted even before 1MDB became a massive or blew up in terms of its inability to repay or to repay its debt. So those are the questions that we have raised, issues such as letter of support, which was given, and subsequently the government had to give an additional billion in terms of standby credit facilities, which was fully utilized. The problem we have now is the rationalization plan, which 1MDB has been talking about, effectively is a bailout plan because the government have basically given land at little or no cost to 1MDB, and 1MDB has been able to profit billions from this land and property development, and these billions are then used to cover up for the money that has been perhaps lost or even missing from its earlier ventures in the Middle East.
Wan Saiful, I just want to put this back to you in terms of your think tank way of addressing this. What is the next step for the country in terms of policy, especially in the bigger picture of whether the government should be in business and whether high amounts of debt should be taken out to invest or to put into certain government entities?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question because, we need to remember that 1MDB is the one that was caught. And there are thousands of other GLCs out there who are not subjected to the same level of scrutiny. So if we are decrying this 50 billion or, 20 billion debt that's been incurred, I wonder if how many other GLCs out there at both federal and state level, even numbers we do not know, what's happening with them? Are we sure that that there's no similar problem happening there? There's no one MDBs out there in the country. I think the biggest lesson we can learn from this is the fact that governments are not supposed to be running businesses. If they know how to run businesses, they will not be politicians. They will become businessmen. Well, many of them are mixing the two together, but that's a different story. But I think the biggest lesson is you know, it's not the role of government to run businesses like this, and this is what we get when they mess it up.
YB Tony, do you think some heads will roll? Because you mentioned about the MOF having no controls under Clause 117, especially what is the PM's culpability in this whole thing?
I think the PM has to take ultimate ministerial responsibility at the very least. That's at the very least over the entire debacle. The debts that has been accumulated by 1MDB, which is 55 billion at its peak, is bigger than the entire budget for the Ministry of Finance, believe it or not. And if you can screw up that way, then obviously the Minister of Finance isn't doing his job. Regardless of the details in terms of criminal culpability of the Prime Minister in what happened in 1MDB, which we have yet to establish, at the very least, we are looking at the Prime Minister who signed all resolutions in all investments by 1MDB. Let's not forget that every single investment done by 1MDB, every single loan and bond taken by 1MDB had the ultimate written endorsement of the Prime Minister and Finance Minister himself. So under such circumstances, how can the person who signed off all these deals not take responsibility? I mean, many ministers overseas would have resigned for negligence or mismanagement of a much lower scale.
Wen Saiful, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts on the Prime Minister's culpability?
I think the questions that are being asked about his role in this are still not properly answered. I think we need to delve deeper into the issues. But at the same time, you know, I think it's good that the board of directors of 1MDB has offered to resign. I think they should go. They should be allowed to go. But the story should not stop there for them. I'm not sure whether the Prime Minister is responsible or not, but I'm definitely sure that I want to see more investigation happening into this issue.
YB Tony, you are a member of the PAC, and I just want to ask you your opinion of the fairness of how it was run. Was it a balanced committee?
It is difficult in the sense that we have to find ways of balancing the interests of both the opposition and the government. The opposition members were very keen to pursue more, whereas the members of the administration were more keen to limit the scope of the work involved. Finding a compromise that makes sense is a challenge because while we want the full truth to be out, as what Wan Sai Fu has mentioned just now, we also don't want the report to be hanging on forever. My concern is, for example, if the report hadn't come out on the last day of the sitting yesterday and be postponed to the next sitting, we don't know if somewhere in between someone decides to declare that the 1MDB issue is now sub judice and nothing can be tabled in Parliament. So for us, the consideration was to accept certain acceptable compromises, let whatever that's available come out first so that we can take on the next step following that.
Tony, I'm personally curious, is the Auditor General's report still embargoed?
The AG apparently claimed that the Auditor General's report is still under the Official Secrets Act. And I think technically he might be right because to have a document classified under Official Secrets Act, there is a process. And the process to declassify that document hasn't taken place. Although the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee has given the commitment previously and he has announced that to the press that the Auditor General's report will be declassified once the PAC report has been tabled. We will hold him to that promise.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. That was Tony Pua, MP for Petaling Jaya Utara and also a member of the Public Accounts Committee. Also, Wan Saiful Wan Jan, the CEO with the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.